Good evening. It's good to be with you. Hosea 3 is our focus for tonight, and just as a way of review, if you put your fingers in Isaiah 3, page 901 in the church Bibles, and if you haven't got a Bible, there will be some made available to you. One over here. Just as a way of review again, Hosea as a prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. And he was asked to share the pain and heartache of God over his relationship with the adulterous people of the northern kingdom. For Hosea, that meant obeying God. And in obeying God, he was asked to marry a mercenary woman called Gomer, who had an adulterous heart. And then he was asked to follow in the steps of God's unrelenting love towards his people, and ultimately demonstrate self-sacrificing restoration of them. We rejoin the story at the point when Gomer, the adulterous wife of Hosea, has left him and is now living under the roof of another man. This man could either be her bigamous husband or boyfriend or even pimp. It's not clear, apart from the fact we're told that he loved her. We'll see the extent of that love a little later on as we go through. At this point, Hosea had probably actually gotten over the worst of the fact that Gomer had left him, betrayed him, and committed adultery. And he's probably over the worst of the pain when God gets hold of him again, as it were. And he asked him to do an outrageous thing. So we've picked the story up again in, as I said, Hosea 3, verse 1. So let's read that one together. The Lord said to me, go, show your love to your wife again, though she's loved by another man and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same toward you. For the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without ephod or household gods. Afterwards, the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. Let's just pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And just thinking of a line of that song that we sang, Lord, that your very word spoke unto me. Lord, may your very word speak to each one of us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. This, as I said, is a word to the northern kingdom, but it has application for the southern kingdom of Judah. And it has application for the southern coast of England today as well. And here God asks a lot of Hosea, because he's asked a lot of himself in his love pursuit for Israel. And he sets before Hosea the kind of love he is to show Gomer. An unrelenting love, a gracious love, a redeeming love, a restoring love. Unrelenting love. When Hosea was asked to love his adulterous wife again, in verse 1, the word again means there was a period where he stopped loving her. And there was a good reason he stopped loving her. He suffered betrayal and abandonment. And the flow of love was stemmed. And it needed starting again. I don't know if you know anything about pumps. Pumps as in water pumps, not pumps you wear. There's all kinds of pumps. Petrol pumps, fuel pumps, water pumps. Chocolate pumps, would you believe? I used to work at Cadbury's. And they used to pump from 20 tons of chocolate in a tank around the plant. And if ever the pump had stopped, it isn't just a matter of switching on again and starting. It needed priming. It needed sort of almost hand-feeding some chocolate before it would suck the rest of the chocolate out of the tank. And for Hosea, I believe he needed priming. His pump had stopped. His heart pump of love had stopped. And it needed priming again. It needed an influx of love. And it was the love of God that primed his heart again. His love and God's word to him, and the confidence he had in it. And he had to resist his own righteous indignation and love against the odds. In the face of betrayal and rejection, he was to love Gomer the same. I wonder if you're the pump of your heart, the pump of love in your heart has stopped. Because the flow has been stemmed. Because you've been hurt by someone. You need your heart pump primed again. There isn't enough love there to begin the flow. And you need to invite the love of God, the unrelenting love of God, to start the pump flowing again. So you can begin to love again and reach out again. In the face of rejection. Hosea had to draw from the unrelenting nature of God's love. Love, as someone has said, that it's neither compromised nor diminished by unfaithfulness. How many know that kind of love that's not diminished or compromised by unfaithfulness? I know it. I've been unfaithful to God at times. And it hasn't stopped him loving me. Can you say the same? Yeah. And he loves me the same. That reminds me of a word that actually we sang this morning in a song called Indescribable. And the line is, "You see the depths of my heart, and you love me the same. You are amazing, God. You are amazing, God." And this amazing God asks Hosea to show amazing love to rebellious Gomer. I invite you again to draw on that amazing love so you can reach out again to those who've hurt you in the past. But what about us and our hurting of God? You know, as undeserving as Gomer was and as undeserving as the people of Israel were, let's not distance ourselves too readily, too quickly from them. Have we not also been enticed by worldly pleasure that at times has drawn us away from the intimacy that is ours in Christ? For Israel, it was the alternative place of worship that they chose and the alternative way of worship that they chose. They set up shrines at the heights of Dan and Bethel and made golden calves to worship as gods. And very soon afterwards, they decided to give some worship to the surrounding gods of the nations around them as well. As is described in verse 1, though they turned to other gods and loved the sacred raisin cakes. For Gomer, it was the attraction of finding freedom to indulge in her sexual fantasies with other men. But for both Israel and Gomer, their adulteries offered them pleasure of diminishing returns. Has anyone read Screwtape Letters? Yeah. Great book to read on the schemes of the devil to try to trip people up. It's a book written by C.S. Lewis. And Screwtape was a little devil sent to tempt and distract believers. And in the book, Screwtape speaks of his tactic to draw believers away. He says, what works best is instilling in believers, and this is the quote, an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure. He says that it is more certain, and it's better style, to get a man's soul and give him nothing in return That is what really gladdens our Father's heart. Our Father, of course, here, being the father of lies, the devil. What's drawn you away from that place of intimacy with God? What has gripped you, taken your time, your devotion, and given you nothing in return? What have you developed an ever-increasing craving for? Wise up. Know that God still loves you and wants you back in that relationship with Him. And He wants to love you the same. Will you return wholeheartedly, totally, surrenderedly? You know, it's easy to sing those songs, "I'm desperate for you, and I surrender all," when you're just about to speak. You know, you feel you can sing those words easily because you know you're going to be given over to serving the Lord. But we need to be at that place of desperation, and that place of surrender, that place of being hungry for God all the time. That's where our soul finds greatest rest and satisfaction. Will you return to Him? The one who asks little of you and will give you everything in return. Will you repent and turn back to Him and turn your back on those things that have turned you away from Him? That's all He asks. Because His love for you is undeterred and unrelenting. And so Hosea dares to love as God loves, unrelentingly. Then he further follows the pattern of his God and dares to offer gracious love. Gomer gave up her right to any inheritance she might have had to her husband, from her husband. As an adulterous wife, she actually deserved death under Jewish law. He had demonstrated mercy towards her in not seeking that punishment. But God wanted him to do more, to go beyond mercy and show outrageous grace. Amazing grace, utterly and totally undeserved favor, to show her she is loved again and welcomed home. Just as Israel deserved to be given over to destruction, yet God determined to show His amazing and gracious love towards them and made plans to bring them back to Himself. The consequence for rebellion, for sin, hasn't changed. It's still the same. We reminded this morning, the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also teaches us that the free gift of God is eternal life. That is grace. It brings us back into a loving relationship with our God and Father. That same amazing grace is still available today to you and me. We so need it, don't we? We're so dependent on it. And it means that we need not face the consequence of our sins. That's mercy. Rather, we are offered undeservedly both life and a love relationship with God. That's wonderfully amazing, gracious love. Yes? So Hosea steps into God's pattern and demonstrates both unrelenting and gracious love. Then he does something, he acts on it, he steps up to the plate and shows redeeming love. Hosea does what's necessary. So verse 2, "So I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and about a homer and a lethic of barley." You know what those are, don't you? Shekels, about 11 grams apparently. Homer is 220 litres and a lethic is 110 litres. There you are. You could have found that from the bottom of your page if you've got your Bible. Gomer had either sold herself to the man she lived with and served him as a prostitute, and therefore he needed recompensing, or she remarried and the bride's price needed to be returned to the new husband. And the new man in her life must have thought that she wasn't worth a great deal, really, because that 15 shekels is actually half what a slave's worth. So I couldn't have loved it that much, really. For the average prophet, of course, that was still a great deal of money. You know? And he had to find it. And he did. It didn't deter him. He paid the price for her redemption. Have you ever wondered how Gomer must have felt during all this? No? She must have been filled with both a sense of shame and great amazement at what was happening. That the husband she abandoned and humiliated would come after her. Not to see her demise and destruction, but to buy her back to himself. Imagine her amazement and great relief to learn that the one who had every right to see the worst for her wanted to redeem her and actually loved her. So much that he was willing to spend all that he had to pay the price for her redemption. This was love of another kind. Unusual, amazing, matchless. No one else could ever have offered her such love. That's heart-melting, life-transforming love. What does that remind you of? The love of God. Heart-melting, life-transforming. When we allow it to touch our lives. Of course, Israel also sold herself to foreign gods. She chose foreign worship and foreign gods. And her redemption would also be very costly to her husband, to God. What about you and me and our redemption? The price of our redemption was outrageously costly, too. The Bible tells us what it cost Jesus to buy us back. 1 Peter 1:18 following tells us, For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead, glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And if Gomer could be utterly amazed by the grace shown through the extent of love of Hosea towards her and of the costly redemption of her, how much more should we be totally blown away, humbled by what Jesus done for our sake, what cost Jesus to redeem us? Can anyone else love us as much? Where can you find such love in this world? Nowhere else. It might be a song by Graham Kendrick that we've sung many times. Such love. Such love. Pure as the whitest snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love, paying the debt I owe. Oh, Jesus, such love. And the last verse, such love springs from eternity. Such love streaming through history. And it really is streaming through history tonight. It's coming right through from the heart of God towards us tonight. Such love, fountain of life to me. Oh, Jesus, such love. That's redeeming love. Do you need redeeming tonight? If you know you're sold out and are far from home, know again that the price for your redemption has been paid. The way back is open. Come home. Reach out to your Redeemer, the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ, and step out of bondage into liberty and love. everyone we turn to does not know our value. Only God does. Just like Gomer's husband didn't know her value. No one else could love you as much. There's only one Redeemer, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. Will you give yourself back to him? Isn't it worth turning away from all that you know to be wrong? And repenting and putting your trust in Christ alone. Hosea was faithful in following his God and showed Gomer unrelenting love, gracious love, redeeming love. And now he's asked to demonstrate restoring love. Verse 3. I told her, you are to live with me many days. You must not be a prostitute or to be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same towards you. Gomer is invited back home. You are to live with me many days, he tells her. Having been redeemed, she's to go back to a home she thought she would never see again. A home that must have been like, well, something heavenly compared to the life she lived and where she lived in rebellion. She must have had a kind of prodigal kind of experience where she, if she dared hope at all for restoration, it would be to be a servant of a husband and master. But hers was to be a full restoration as wife and lover. He wants her fully restored and become a faithful wife. But he sets the conditions for ultimate union. He says, you must not be a prostitute or be intimate with any man, and I will behave the same towards you. This speaks of mutual abstinence and a time for faithfulness and purity to be restored, so a secure union is made possible. And so unfaithful, adulterous Gomer has opportunity to become pure and faithful. And what Hosea and Gomer experienced mirrored what God and Israel would experience also. Verse 4, for the Israelites will live many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred stones, without all these trappings of religion. And it says, afterwards the Israelites will return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. They will come trembling to the Lord and to his blessings in the last days. The northern tribes chose their fate, and they chose to follow unordained leaders in rebellion. And in the end, actually, they ended up without a king and without any real worship of God, true worship. And we're told here, really, the absence of God in the center of community life will eventually be too much for them to bear. They will want to return back to their God and their king. And of course, Judah went the same way as the northern kingdom in its rebellion. It too suffered the same kind of loss and will need to hunger in the same kind of way for their God and their king. And one day they will. The Bible tells us, doesn't it? Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11. If you want to turn there with me, Romans 11, beginning at verse 25, we're told what's going to happen to this rebellious wife. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will return godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies for your sake. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound everyone over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. And then Paul realizes what an amazing thing this is. And he says, oh, the depths of the riches, of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. His ways remain unsearchable and his love unfathomable. It's unreasonable, as we reminded last week. It's unrelenting, gracious, redeeming, restoring and purifying. And tonight it's ours. It's all ours in Christ. Do you sense an absence of God in your life? Are you far from home? Do you want to be restored to him again tonight? You can be restored then. To your true husband and true lover, stop chasing those things that promise so much and offer so little. Stop what the devil knows that you have, an ever-increasing craving for an ever-diminishing pleasure. Your sole satisfaction is in God alone. When I put those words down, I had to stop and say it again and again. Your sole satisfaction is in God alone. Say it to yourself. It really is. There's nowhere else where your soul can rest, where you can know peace and joy and contentment. No one else can give it you. And he's calling you to leave your life of prostitution, that is, those things that are taking you away from him, whether it be people or things. Tonight, he's spoken to you of his love towards you, his unrelenting love, his outrageously gracious love, his redeeming love, his restoring love. Let him pour this love on you afresh tonight. Receive his love. Come home. Shall we pray? Just bow our heads and just a moment of quiet, personal reflection. Just appreciate God's love again for you. His value of you compared to anyone else on the face of this earth. Be redeemed afresh, restored afresh. Keep our heads bowed, and if there's anyone here this evening who knows they need to come home to be found, to be redeemed, to be restored, please just raise your hand with me, and we'll pray together. Let's tell it to the Lord in prayer. I suppose we all can admit that we're not where we ought to be. That in some respects we have spiritually prostituted ourselves and left home, but know we want to return. We need to confess that as sin, turn our back on it, and turn our hearts again to Jesus. Believe in him again, or for the first time, if you know you haven't done that, and believe that his redeeming love was for you, that he died in your place, and that he paid the price for your redemption with his life, and thank him for it. And commit to staying home and staying faithful. And with his help, resist temptation. Resist those cravings that bring no satisfactions at all. So, Lord, would you seek you again, the one who seeks us, unrelentingly, whose love is undeterred, even by our unfaithfulness. Lord, we want to give ourselves fully back to you tonight. That our lives might be primed again by your love, so we could love you back and love others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.